Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is to really uncover how setting limits can actually save your most important relationships rather than, you know, destroy them.
Yeah, which is usually our biggest fear.
Exactly. We're pulling our insights today from this really thought-provoking blog article. It's by Steve Goodner, and it's called More Success with Less Stress.
It's a great read.
It really is. And the core premise we're exploring for you today is why being endlessly available to your clients, your boss, or even your family might actually be the exact thing that is quietly tearing those relationships apart.
Yeah, it sounds totally backward, but it's so true.
Right. So to understand this, I want you to imagine just for a second that you are building your absolute dream house.
Okay, I love a good real estate analogy.
Right. So you're pouring your heart, your soul, your entire life savings into this place. You've got this gorgeous wraparound porch, a really welcoming entryway, and this massive, beautiful kitchen just waiting to host your friends and family.
Sounds perfect so far.
It is. It's designed to be incredibly inviting. But then you make a very strange decision. You decide to completely leave the doors off the frames. You just don't install them at all.
Wow. Yeah, the intention behind that missing door is usually entirely positive, though. I mean, you want the house to feel welcoming.
Right.
You want there to be zero barriers for the people you care about so they know they can come to you anytime.
And during the day, it probably feels amazing. The breeze is blowing through. People are dropping by. But eventually, inevitably, because there are no doors, you are going to find yourself dealing with a family of raccoons in that beautiful kitchen at 3 a.m.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're going to be exhausted just standing there in the dark with a broom, wondering how your dream scenario turned into a nightmare.
That is, I mean, building a business or a career without boundaries is functionally identical to building that house without doors.
Yeah.
We often think that making ourselves endlessly available proves our dedication. But the absence of a boundary is actually the loudest signal you can possibly send to the world around you.
It really is.
It tells everyone that your time, your energy, and your focus are entirely up for grabs.
So to really ground this, we have to talk about Aaron.
Yes, Aaron's story.
Aaron's story is just the perfect case study from our source material because her situation is so universally relatable for anyone listening who feels stretched too thin. She runs a veterinary practice down in a suburb of Nashville.
Right, and she started pretty small, didn't she?
Super small, just one single exam room about 9 years ago. And she built the entire practice on this one core, unwavering promise to her community, which is basically, when your animal needs us, we are here.
Which is a beautiful promise.
It is, and it worked. I mean, she grew her practice from 300 clients to almost 2,600.
That's incredible growth.
She built the exact kind of reputation that other business owners just dream about.
But, you know, the shadow side of that exact same promise was quietly destroying her life. The success was essentially killing the host.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The very mechanism that built her business was now completely dismantling her well-being.
Because that we are here promise turned into Aaron personally taking text messages from clients about their dog's dietary issues at like 9 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It meant she was answering emails on her phone while physically standing on the sidelines of her kids' soccer games.
Yeah.
She hadn't taken a full unplugged week of vacation in 4 years.
4 years without a break is just, that's a recipe for disaster.
Totally. And the cracks were showing. Two of her vet techs had already quit, explicitly citing burnout. And then she finally hit her breaking point.
A Loom video, right?
Yes, the Loom video. Her most senior vet tech, the person she trusts with the hardest medical cases, sends her an 11 p.m. recorded video message on this app called Loom.
At 11 p.m.
At 11 p.m. And the tech basically says, I love working here, but if you don't start protecting us and protecting yourself, I have to leave.
That is heavy. But even with that severe staffing scare, the thing that pushed her to finally get help was actually a much quieter moment at home.
Oh, yeah, the conversation with her husband.
Exactly. Her husband sat down with her on a Sunday afternoon and gently said, I love your generosity, but I miss you, and the kids miss you.
That hits hard. So why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we build these beautiful houses and just completely refuse to put the doors on the hinges?
Well, the answer at its core is fear.
Fear of what, though?
Erin actually confessed this. She said she couldn't tell the difference anymore between being committed to her work and being consumed by it. She was terrified that if she set a limit, she would disappoint the very people she built her entire business to serve.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because Erin, like so many leaders, managers, and parents listening right now, carried this hidden belief that boundaries are basically walls.
Yes. They view a boundary as a defensive structure, you know, an act of putting hostile distance between themselves and the people they care about.
Right.
If you view a boundary as a brick wall, then naturally setting one feels like a complete betrayal of your promise to be there for them.
I get the theoretical difference between a wall and a boundary. I do. But if I tell my boss no to a weekend project, or if I tell a client I can't take their call on a Friday night, I promise you, to them, it just feels like I'm throwing up a brick wall. It feels like access denied.
Well, it feels like a wall when the limit is set abruptly or defensively.
Okay, fair.
And that usually happens because we waited until we were entirely depleted to set it. We let the raccoons into the kitchen and then we slam a heavy door on them in an absolute panic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But a wall is designed to permanently separate two people. We build walls to protect ourselves from people we do not trust. A boundary is completely different. It's the shape of a healthy relationship.
The shape, I like that.
Yeah, it defines how two people can work together without one of them just quietly dissolving into the other.
It sounds a bit abstract, though. But if we move away from masonry and think about biology, it actually clicks perfectly.
Oh, the membrane idea.
Exactly. Think of a boundary not as a brick wall, but as a cell membrane. You know, a biological cell has to have a membrane to exist. That membrane is what holds a distinct shape. It's semi-permeable, meaning it lets the good stuff in, the nutrients, the oxygen, the positive interactions, but specifically keeps the toxic stuff out.
What's fascinating here is that the biology metaphor captures the mechanism perfectly.
It really does.
If that membrane hardens into a completely solid wall, nothing gets in, and the cell literally dies of starvation.
Wow, yeah.
But if the membrane completely dissolves and lets absolutely everything in, the cell gets destroyed by its environment. It requires that semi-permeable shape to actually survive.
Which is a balancing act.
Exactly. The leaders who have the deepest, most trusting relationships over the span of their careers are not the ones with the fewest boundaries.
Oh, that's interesting.
They are the ones with the clearest boundaries.
Yeah.
Held generously and kindly. When you maintain a clear shape, the people around you know exactly where the solid ground is.
So if undefined boundaries are what caused that cell membrane to dissolve, what does that actually do to us and, you know, the people working for us?
The effects are pretty severe.
Because the data in this deep dive is wild, and it shows that leaving the doors off doesn't just make you tired, it literally drives your best people away.
It does. Christina Maslach at Berkeley has been studying burnout in helping professions for over 2 decades now, and her findings challenge all of our basic assumptions about work.
How so?
Well, we tend to think that burnout is simply the result of working too many hours. But her research shows that burnout is not caused by hard work itself.
Wait, really?
Really. Yeah. Burnout is actually caused by a chronic mismatch between the effort you give and what you receive back. And that mismatch is almost always downstream of absent boundaries.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The Gallup data from 2024 puts numbers to this that are, frankly, staggering.
They really are.
They looked at employee well-being and found that employees who do not have clear boundaries around their availability are over twice as likely to report burnout symptoms.
Twice as likely.
And furthermore, they are 3 times more likely to leave their job within a 12-month period compared to employees who have clear boundary structures. But here is the absolute picker. The hours worked in this study were often exactly the same.
And that is the most crucial variable for you to understand.
Yeah.
You could have 2 employees, both working 50 hours a week. Employee A has no boundaries, answers messages at all hours, and is 3 times more likely to quit.
Right.
Employee B works the exact same 50 hours, but inside a defined container, and they are thriving. It's not the volume of the hours. It's the boundary around the hours that dictates the psychological toll.
But why is that, though? If I'm working 50 hours either way, why does answering an email at 9 on a Saturday suddenly tip me into clinical burnout?
It comes down to cognitive load and how the human nervous system regulates itself.
Okay.
When you lack boundaries, your brain never gets a true psychological off-ramp. If you are, you know, always on, your sympathetic nervous system remains in this constant low-grade state of vigilance.
Just constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Exactly. You are perpetually bracing for the next ping, the next request, the next crisis. And that subconscious bracing consumes an enormous amount of metabolic energy.
Wow.
When you have a boundary, even if you are working long hours, your brain knows there's a defined endpoint. It can fully power down, recover, and repair.
But wait, I mean, in a startup culture, or really any highly competitive industry where everyone is wearing multiple hats, isn't being always on just kind of the price of admission? If you want to grow a business like Aaron did, you sort of have to be available, don't you?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the myth that traps so many driven people. You have to realize that the absence of a boundary is actively teaching people how to treat you.
Ooh, that's a good point.
When you answer that email during family dinner, you are not just being helpful in the moment. You are fundamentally conditioning your family to understand that dinner time is negotiable.
Yeah, that hurts to hear, but it's true.
When you take a client text on a Saturday night, you are teaching that client that Saturday night texts are an entirely appropriate part of your dynamic.
And as a leader, it cascades down to your staff, right?
Absolutely.
If I'm a boss who is always taking one for the team by working on the weekends, I might think I'm being a hero. But if I'm modeling a complete lack of boundaries, my team is going to assume those are the unspoken rules of the game. My lack of a boundary becomes their lack of a boundary.
The absence of a boundary from leadership is louder than any wellness policy you could ever write in a company handbook.
Wow.
By absorbing work you should have declined, you teach your team that the protective limits they were depending on you to hold simply do not exist.
Man. Okay, so if undefined boundaries are the root cause of this burnout mismatch and this constant state of vigilance, how do we actually start drawing the lines?
Right, how do we fix it?
Yeah, what does a healthy cell membrane look like in a real-world office dynamic? The source material breaks this down into three specific types of boundaries that every healthy relationship requires.
The first, and arguably the most foundational, is the boundary of time.
Time, okay.
Simply put, clarifying exactly when you are available and when you are not. And equally important as a leader, clarifying when your team is expected to be available and when they are explicitly encouraged to be offline.
This goes right back to Aaron's husband saying, "I miss you," on a Sunday afternoon.
Exactly.
Aaron was physically sitting in her kitchen, but mentally she was completely absorbed by the clinic. Setting a time boundary makes the time you're available incredibly potent.
Yes.
You move from a state of diluted, distracted availability where you are physically present but mentally absent to a state of absolute presence. That is how you get your undivided family time back.
A clear time boundary protects your cognitive recovery, it protects your team's nervous systems, and it radically increases the quality of every interaction you have.
That makes so much sense.
The second type of boundary we have to establish is the boundary of scope.
Scope.
This means defining what the relationship actually includes, and just as importantly, what it does not include.
The text makes a really sharp observation here, actually. It says, scope creep isn't a project management problem, it is a boundary problem.
It's so true.
I want to spend a second on scope creep because it's insidious. Say you're a graphic designer, right? And you are hired by a client to design a logo. That is the scope.
Right.
But over a few weeks, the client asks for a quick business card layout. Then they ask if you can just, you know, quickly look at their website homepage. Suddenly, you are essentially acting as their full-time creative director for the price of a single logo.
Yeah, and it is entirely human nature for people to expand their requests to fill whatever space you give them.
Exactly.
The client in your example likely isn't being malicious. They simply have a need, and you have proven yourself helpful. If you allow the professional relationship to take a new shape without resistance, the client will naturally adapt to that new shape. Maintaining a clear scope boundary is not about being stingy with your talents. It is about exercising the professional discipline required to deliver excellence exclusively inside the specific relationship you actually agreed to have.
That distinction between malicious intent and just human nature leads perfectly into the third boundary, which I think can be the trickiest.
Behavior.
The boundary of behavior, yes. This is about defining what constitutes an acceptable interaction. It's different from scope. Think about it like sitting down to play a friendly game of tennis with a colleague.
Yeah.
But instead of hitting the tennis ball back, the other person starts throwing baseballs over the net.
Ouch.
Right. If you don't politely but firmly pause the game and point out that this is a tennis court, you're going to get bruised and resentment is going to build up very quickly. Eventually, you won't want to play the game with them at all.
Behavior boundaries are about naming the dynamic before it ruins the connection.
Yeah.
Imagine an owner who sits in a weekly meeting and quietly tolerates a star producer speaking to the junior staff with a subtly disrespectful, condescending tone.
Oh, I've seen that happen.
By remaining silent, that owner has just set a behavior boundary. They set it by not setting it. They have silently communicated to the entire room that condescension is now an acceptable form of currency in the company culture.
Over time, that completely hollows out a team. The good people leave, and you're left only with the people willing to tolerate the toxicity.
Setting a behavior boundary isn't about being punitive or, you know, acting like a dictator. It is simply about having the honesty and the professional respect to name the kind of interaction that the relationship requires in order to function well.
Right, right.
It is saying, we cannot do our best work together if this is how we communicate.
All right, so we understand the mechanics of time, scope, and behavior boundaries. But theory is one thing. Execution is where this actually gets terrifying for a lot of people.
It really is.
How do you, the person listening to this deep dive right now, actually execute this week without feeling like a jerk? How do you put the door on the hinges without slamming it in someone's face?
Well, the author outlines a few distinct practices, but the highest leverage tool in the entire toolkit is what he calls the availability statement.
The availability statement.
Yes. It is designed to be highly actionable and very low friction.
Let's break the steps down because it is remarkably practical. First, you pick one close working relationship. Maybe it's a key client who always pushes the envelope, or a direct report, or even a vendor.
Right. Just one to start.
Second, you write out one short, clear sentence about your availability that has, until this point, remained an unspoken rule.
Transforming the unspoken into the spoken is the critical mechanism here. People cannot respect a rule, they have to guess.
Exactly.
You write something incredibly clear, such as, moving forward, I check and respond to email between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Or, on the weekends, I am entirely offline with my family. Or, for truly urgent business-halting issues, you can text my cell. Everything else will be addressed on Monday morning.
So you write that one sentence, you send it once, and this is where the rubber meets the road. You hold it for 2 weeks. You actually have to abide by the sentence you wrote.
If you do this for 14 days, you will learn more about the reality of your own boundaries than you would in a year of reading management books.
I know exactly how this sounds to you listening, though. Is it really that simple? Just one sentence? I mean, if a client has been used to me answering their 9 p.m. texts for the last 3 years, aren't they going to be furious when I suddenly dictate that they have to wait until Monday morning?
This raises an important question, and it's the exact fear that stops us from acting. The fear of that backlash is why we avoid doing this. But it uncovers the great paradox of this exercise.
What's the paradox?
We build up this massive anxiety about the confrontation we assume is coming. But in reality, the people you are most afraid of disappointing are usually quietly relieved when the boundary is finally explicitly named.
Relieved? That seems counterintuitive. Why would they be relieved to lose access?
Because living in a house with no doors is deeply stressful for the guests, too.
Oh, wow.
When there are no clear limits, people never know if they are interrupting you. They never know if they are crossing an invisible line or being a burden. The ambiguity requires mental energy from them, too.
That makes a lot of sense.
When you simply name the boundary, you remove the ambiguity. You give them the gift of clarity. They finally know where the solid ground is, which means they finally know how to succeed in their relationship with you.
We actually have proof of this playing out in Erin's story. She went through this exact exercise.
She did.
She was terrified that her clients would abandon her and her staff would think she was just checking out. She braced herself for this massive wave of backlash. So she drafted a short availability statement and sent it to her 14-person team and a separate one to her top 50 clients. And the backlash never came.
Instead of anger, she received gratitude.
Yeah. Three of her top clients actually wrote back specifically to thank her for clarifying how best to reach the clinic. But the most profound reaction came from her senior vet tech, you know, the one who sent the late night recorded video threatening to quit.
Right.
The tech replied to Erin's new availability statement with just two lines. And it ended with, "Thank you for protecting us. I am staying."
That is just incredible. Erin managed to save her most valuable employee.
Yeah.
And she didn't do it by giving her a massive raise or by magically reducing the total client load of the clinic. She saved her simply by installing a door on the frame and defining the shape of their work.
And it ultimately saved her personal life, too. That following Sunday, Erin had her first completely unbroken, undistracted afternoon with her family in 4 years.
4 years.
Her husband didn't even have to make a big speech about it. They were sitting at the kitchen table and he just reached over, put his hand over hers, and squeezed once. She kept her core promise to be there for her community, but she finally gave that promise a shape that she and her family could actually survive.
Which proves our central thesis perfectly. Mm. Setting a boundary didn't destroy her connections to the community or her staff. Mm. It actively rescued those connections from her own unmanaged generosity.
So let's recap the journey we've taken today. We've completely dismantled the idea that boundaries are hostile brick walls designed to keep people out. They are not.
No, they're not.
They are the cell membrane. They are the defined, semi-permeable shape of a healthy relationship. We've unpacked the hard data showing that leaving the doors off your house doesn't just make you tired. It creates a severe cognitive mismatch that keeps your nervous system in a state of high alert. It drives your best people away, and it ruins your undistracted time with your family. Setting clear time, scope, and behavior boundaries is the cure for burnout. And taking control of that starts with drafting a single, clear availability statement for just one relationship this week.
The clarity of your relationships is entirely within your control. The backlash you are dreading is mostly a ghost in your own mind.
For you listening right now, taking 5 minutes to draft and send that one sentence this week could literally be the difference between being deeply committed to your work and being totally consumed by it. Don't leave the doors off the house anymore.
We've seen throughout this deep dive that clients, colleagues, and family members actually respect us more when we establish these clear limits because it provides them with certainty.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you look at your own calendar and your own inbox this week. If you are chronically overavailable and you continually refuse to set limits, what is that actually communicating to the world about your own sense of self-worth?
Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.